contribution to make policies to reduce fertility more human. And that's not what we went to Cairo for. We went to change the paradigm of the relationship between population and development, recognizing, for example, that empowerment of women is not a means to achieve an end of reduction of population, but that the empowerment of women is a right in itself.
From the Wings Archive, 1995, that was Maria Suarez from Costa Rica-based Feminist International Radio Endeavor, describing women's strategies around the International Conference on Population and Development in 1994. The radio project, known as FIRE for short, started as a daily program on shortwave Radio for Peace International out of Costa Rica, and later pioneered broadcasting through streaming online. It was bilingual, and its Spanish name was Radio Feminista Internacional. Maria published a book documenting its history under the title Women's Voices on Fire. She also vividly described her media experiences in a Zoom-recorded event at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. That's maternalgifteconomymovement.org. Look for Salon Number 63, Feminist Radio, The Gift of Women's Voices. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, whose books include the anthology Women and the Gift Economy, A Radically Different Worldview is Possible. For Wings, I'm Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Good morning, and thanks for listening to Film at 11 here on your community radio, KBOO Portland. KBOO is a volunteer-powered community platform, which means we are funded by you, the listener. This morning, we are once again joined by Mona Bowen to discuss two good TV shows, a good documentary, and two bad holiday epics. And as you may know by now, we are beginning our year-end membership campaign with the theme Catalog of Connections. Because with this campaign, we are focusing on building the community that we need around the things that we care about. Music, culture, and important political issues. To join, go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO 244321 to become a monthly sustaining member. Please do it today. Help us reach our fundraising goal of $75,000. Well, here we are once again with Mona Bowen, and we're going to talk about two movies and two TV shows in the course of this episode.
We can do it.
And I think that we should alternate because the two movies I'm going to talk about will not be recommendations, but the two the two TV shows will be. So let's have you talk about one I haven't seen.
Do you understand the gravity of your situation?
Why are we even here?
Just start from the beginning.
We arrived 2 years ago.
All righty, who do we have here?
Sudha, Mahesh, Bhanu, Kamal, and Vinod.
Welcome to America, Pardips.
It's Pradeeps. We are the Pradeeps.
And this show really flew under the radar for me. I'd heard about it, but I don't know why I didn't delve into it. It did not get a lot of publicity. But it does star an actor I very much love named Naveen Andrews, who a lot of people would know from Lost and The English Patient. It's called The Pradeeps of Pittsburgh.
Denied? I don't understand. I moved my family across the world for this. Pulled my kids out of school. Lost my wife her medical career.
You see, history of reckless decisions.
It's on Prime Video and Freevee, which is why Freevee, who watches that? Except, truly one of the best shows I've seen all year.
Hmm.
It is so funny. The writing is so sharp. It's very Rashomon-like, believe it or not. It's about this family that moves from India to Pittsburgh because the father, played by Naveen Andrews, has gotten a contract to produce rocket parts for SpaceX. So he moves them across the world to a place they've never been before, and everything just goes to hell in a handbag. And they are about half of the time you're in, I'm not sure if they're in the local police headquarters. In any event, the whole family is being interrogated by investigators to find out who burned down the neighbor's house. It is unexpected. It is so funny. It's very dear. It really gets all of the everything. And I watched it with a friend and we kept turning to each other going, how have we never heard of this show? It's brilliantly written. The acting is amazing. It is so clever, so smart. I cannot recommend it more highly. And both of us were saying, how do we not know about this show? How come not everyone should be talking about this show? It is clever, smart, heartwarming, hilarious, weird, just sometimes surreal. It's a very wonderful show, and I cannot talk about it enough.
No, that's excellent. Well, isn't Freevee going away in some kind of?
So I think that that's being incorporated into Amazon, so people should still be able to get it.
Okay.
But seek it out, please. Just especially in the current environment, and maybe you're feeling a little down, or you know, you maybe need a pick me up. It's just a delicious morsel. You know, it's just so fun and smart. It's smart. The writing is on point.
Excellent. Well, I can't say the same for Gladiator 2.
Oh no,
that's a put me down. That's not a. It's interesting because Ridley Scott, throughout his long career, has dabbled in many genres and many types of films, but now he's become the destroyer of sequels and franchises.
Oh, yeah.
First he wrecked Alien, and now he's wrecked the Gladiator series. Not that I particularly liked the first one, but the second one is amazingly badly written. It is basically a remake, not of Gladiator, but of the Gore Vidal movie of Caligula, the famous Roman emperor who killed everybody.
It's one of the only movies I ever walked out of.
I know. Well, this is very much like it in the sense that there's all the usual little instances. There's the rose petals on the marble floor. There's the person feeding grapes to somebody. There's the not one, but two brothers who are Epicene to the extreme, setting the gay rights movement back several decades.
Oh, no.
And at the same time, they're probably so overdone in their gay presentation. They're probably there to make the other cast members who really are gay look straighter or something. I can't understand where these two guys come from in history. The cast, which includes Denzel Washington and Pedro Pascal, and the new guy who's Paul, who I mean, don't really know that Paul.
Mescal.
Are all at the highest timber of volume. There's no quietude in this movie, except there's a lot of talking. So there'll be a setup, then a battle scene that goes on and on and on, with the most grotesque, violent special effects that make me wonder, who is Ridley Scott thinking he's making this movie for? Teenage boys? Because they're the only ones who really want to see or a certain type of teenage boy who wants to see the hero chop off a guy's head with two broadswords at once. And then with all this growth, you know, it's like he's trying to get on the cover of the old magazine Fangoria. Anyway, it'll be a long action scene and then a lot of talk. You know, just like in my other least favorite action film, Floating Tiger, Dreaming Dragon. I can't even remember the title. I dislike it so much.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes, because there'll be an action scene not particularly well done. And then everybody has to stop and sit around and talk about what just happened. And it's just ridiculous.
Oh, no.
And it's overlong. And some of the action scenes are so ridiculous, like filling up the stadium and filling with water so they can reenact a sea battle.
That was fun. That was real, though.
Oh, yeah, that may be, but it's presented with gritty realism. It's presented as some overly produced Broadway show. And even more so, we already had a battle on the ocean in the very opening scene of the movie, which is about a naval attack on a city on an island. So it's just so bad, so disappointing, and yet so, in a sense, predictable, because it's coming from Ridley Scott, who I don't understand why his reputation is so high. Anyway, that was Gladiator 2, and it's a very disappointing film for me.
Well, so we can end on a high note. Why don't you talk about the other movie you don't like, and then we can talk about the show we both love.
Well, I want to talk to you about this because I don't know if you've seen the musical Wicked, but that is the other movie I've seen.
Come with me. Think of what we could do together. Unlimited. Together we're unlimited. Together we'll be the greatest team there's ever been. Glinda, dreams the way we planned them. If we work in tandem, there's no fight we cannot win. Just you and I, defying gravity. With you and I, defying gravity. That will never bring us down.
I had not.
And have you ever heard the, did you ever read the book, or did you ever hear the song?
I,
of the Broadway,
you know, am a lover of books, and I did even purchase that book, and I couldn't get through it. I didn't like the book. Okay, don't come at me, people. I didn't like the book. It was not for me, and I'm a big Wizard of Oz aficionado, if you will, but I am not, I did not love the book, and I have, and even though I'm a theater kid from way back, I have no interest in that musical. I do not know why, but okay, again,
well, let me tell you why. Because for me, none of the tunes are memorable. For me, it was overdone as a musical. Too much CGI, too many impossible things that deprive the movie of the kind of magic that you get on the stage, where you wonder how people do it and there's people actually there. Here it's just cartoon characters for the most part. Mm-hmm. I like Ariana Grande quite a bit as a impressionist of other singers when she appears on variety shows. She's a very tiny person, and yet this huge voice comes out of her. I just don't know how that even happens physically. She's pretty good in it, as is the co-star,
Cynthia Erivo, who I love her.
And she's quite good. Jeff Goldblum is in it as the wizard, and a few other people I recognize. But one of the things that you discover as you watch this 2.5-hour movie is it's not the end of the story. It's to be continued. This is just Wicked Part 1.
I don't understand, because the stage musical could do it all in the 2.5 hours. So it's a little shocking to me that they expanded the story that much. It just seems like a cash grab to me.
Mm-hmm.
The next one's going to come out next Christmas. I forget when. Those make me feel very cynical about.
Yeah. Well, the original book, of which is the first of a series now.
Yes.
Competing with the Wizard of Oz series, is based on a really fundamental and somewhat interesting premise. I haven't read it either, but from what I've read, It's about the nature of evil and what makes a person bad, and do they see themselves as bad, and how, and what circumstances have led to this confusion. And thus we're talking about the Wicked Witch of the West, and why did she turn so nasty? Well, I don't know what the play version does, but the movie version doesn't do anything with this premise. It's just really falls under the influence of the Barbie movie. Lots of upbeatness, lots of cuteness, lots of girl power, lots of diversity, and very little to do with the actual premise of the novel. Now, maybe the second half or the original musical do, but I don't see much evidence of it in this movie. It's just a very tiring experience to watch this film.
Hmm.
And that was Wicked, which Wicked. Should be called Wicked Part One or Wicked One. And you are listening to Community Radio KBOO Portland. Among the things your membership helps to accomplish is to maintain KBOO's great archive of music shows, political commentary, animal rights activism, and its art programs such as Film 11. KBOO.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And you can become a monthly sustaining member today. So I don't recommend either of these movies, unfortunately. There is one that I do want to recommend, though, very briefly, and that's called Made in England, Powell and Pressburger.
I used to get excited by the different logos of the different British film companies, but there was one which held out a very special promise. That was the target of the archers. That heralded a Powell Pressburger film. And by the time I was 10 or 11, I'd be watching Powell Pressburger films endlessly on TV. They were shown a lot. There was one called The Tales of Hoffman, which is not an obvious film, you'd say, for a child to enjoy. It's basically a 19th century opera, but I just didn't watch it once. I mean, I watched it repeatedly and obsessively. It was on this program called Million Dollar Movie, which showed the same film all week, twice every evening, and three times on the weekend. But the thing was that I was hypnotized by it. And those repeated viewings taught me pretty much everything I know about the relation of camera to music. And even now, music and images from that picture often run through my mind. In fact, I think the Powell Pressburger films have had a profound effect on the sensibility that I bring to all the work I was able to do. I was so bewitched by them as a child that they make up a big part of my film subconscious.
It's a new movie made by for the BBC and the Scottish version of the BBC, a documentary narrated by Martin Scorsese, who knew the subject of the movie, Michael Powell, extremely well in Michael Powell's old age. Michael Powell is, of course, the director of such masterpieces as The Red Shoes, Peeping Tom, One of Our Aircraft is Missing, I Know Where I'm Going, and a little-known masterpiece of his from the post-war era called The Small Back Room, which is a movie that everybody should look up if they want to expand their Michael Powell knowledge. This is a really touching memoir. Martin Scorsese is the perfect host to walk us through their movies, how he first was introduced to the Michael Powell, Emmerich Pressburger movies, sadly on a tiny black and white television in his New York City apartment with his parents, going into movies himself, carrying memories of the Powell and Pressburger movies with him that he incorporates into some of his movies. And then finally, he gets to meet him and they form an alliance. And it's very touching again at the end because Scorsese makes testimony to the fact that Michael Powell, because of his stolidity, helped him get through some very low, desolate times, apparently somewhere around the time he was making The King of Comedy. He doesn't go into detail, but you can just feel the warmth and affection and love and support between the two men. So that's Made in England. It's a long documentary with lots of clips from the Powell Pressburger movies and lots of background. Made in England, Powell and Pressburger with Martin Scorsese.
And I can recommend his great movie, The Red Shoes.
Oh, absolutely.
It's one of the only ones that's actually available to find on any streaming service, which is really sad.
I know.
He's an extremely prolific movie maker, and his musicals were staged so beautifully.
Well, almost all of them.
The Red Shoes you can get.
All of them are being, well, the Criterion Collection has a very deep dive into Michael Powell Pressburger collection of films. So if you're in a store or in a rental place, that's the place to go to find the Criterions.
But if you're just a streamer, you could not get two more different movies than The Red Shoes and Peeping Tom. And if you want to see the range of Michael Powell's filmmaking prowess, both of those are available for free to stream on different services. And I highly recommend you check both out because they are dramatically different. Yeah, he was quite the master.
In the twilight of his career, he made a movie, two movies in Australia. One of them, the first film starring Helen Mirren and also starring James Mason as a roguish artist type, like the Alec Guinness character in the... Oh, well, never mind. I can't think of anything right now. But let's move on quickly then to the more upbeat show of our program today, which is A Man on the Inside.
Investigative assistant.
This necklace, my client's family heirloom, has gone missing at Pacific View Retirement Community.
You would pretend to be a new resident.
You're interested in a tour?
We are. And be my source.
A man on the inside. I'm in.
Got your phone? Camera glasses? Recorder? Are you just tapping different parts of your body?
Yes. I left everything in my room. I'm just so excited. I'll be right back.
Your first job is to lay low, meet people, start compiling a list of suspects.
Hello.
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 Get out of my room, weirdo.
I don't do yoga. I'm naturally flexible.
I don't want any.
Don't want any what?
Eat it.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I had impure thoughts about Pedro Pascal again.
A few bumps in the road today, if I'm being honest.
Just came out on Netflix. So if you want to be in the hands of some old pros who know how to make you laugh and tug at your heartstrings, you cannot do worse, better than Ted Danson, truly, along with his Stephanie Beatriz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, just playing a completely different character.
She sounds totally different.
That's her real voice in this show.
Yeah, it must be. She must
be. Allie Struthers.
Oh, my
God. There's a lot of familiar faces. Susan Rutan, who I love, Veronica Cartwright. The premise is there is a private investigator who is investigating the theft of a ruby necklace from a very fancy retirement home assisted living facility in San Francisco. She places an ad for an older gentleman so she can put a man on the inside. And Ted Danson answers the call. And this could not be more charming, more delightful. Absolutely. I love to see these old pros. I'm going to say old. Most of these people who are acting in this show are in their 60s minimum, 70s and 80s, some of them. And this show is like a warm embrace where you laugh a lot with old friends. I can't explain it.
Now,
thoroughly delighted in every way.
I find it a fascinating phenomenon that may have started with Ted Lasso, and then carries over to Only Murders in the Building and then this film and The Good Place and several others that are, they're feel-good TV shows, even though bad things happen. There are murders, there's crimes. This one is extremely poignant on the subject of aging and losing friends and losing a wife, as Ted Danson's character has in the world before the show actually starts. And he's got a tense relationship with his daughter, which is also wonderfully reconciled at one point or another. And then there's just the mystery, who did it? And it, when you finally learn, it seems like it was obvious, but it also really highlights something fascinating about the quality of the characters who live in and are in fact running the place. This is not the retirement home of one's nightmare, where there's elder abuse and poor services. This is high end retirement home practices. So you don't have to worry about scary things like that. You can just enjoy the story, the emotions, the cleverness of the plot, etc.
It is very funny. It is also very deep in its way, but those deep moments, those, like, you don't have to worry about, are you going to be on a roller coaster? Although I will say the last episode, nothing bad happened. It's very joyful, yes, but it is also very moving. It is an extremely life affirming series, but it is all, but at the same time, it's so funny. It's so funny. And Ted Danson has just, so this is some of the creators of The Good Place. And in fact, there are some Good Place cameos that turn up that really just made me smile. Uh-huh. And it's just a very happy show. I was very, it's like being with old friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how else to put it. I just, I couldn't recommend it more highly. It's just utterly delightful. And I'm extremely happy that at the end, they do set it up for a return. And hopefully it's going to do well enough on Netflix that they do bring it back, because I would love to spend more time with these characters.
Me too. Well, that's fantastic. So you've got two really good shows.
Great shows. Funny. Sweet.
A pretty good documentary about two great filmmakers, conducted by a third great filmmaker, Martin Scorsese, made in England, it's called. And then two duds, The New Gladiator and the musical of Wicked. But those two shows more than make up for the problems with the movies that I've described.
And, you know, and here in Portland, now that we're having these long, gray, rainy days and nights, and maybe you don't feel like going outside, these two shows are perfect.
Yeah, they sound like it. Well, we've been talking with Mona Bowen and going over some really fine shows and, on my part, a couple of rather disappointing movies. But you and I will be back at some point in the near future, and we'll dive in with more recommendations and demurrals.
Sounds good.
Okay, good. Thanks again, Mona. And thank you for listening to Community Radio KBOO Portland. Remember, KBOO is created by you, the listeners. So think about joining us today at kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And there you can become a monthly sustaining member. Film at 11 will be back next Friday, so until then, keep watching the screens. Thank you.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
You're listening to KBOO's Catalog of Connections year-end campaign, where we bring you a range of community-oriented programming built by community members like you.
Help KBOO reach our $75,000 goal by December 31st so we can